Home on
LaGrange,
where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on
LaGrange,
where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word.
And we don't play with fireworks or we'll blow off our two last fingers.
And the skies are not cloudy all day.
Wow. Hello, it's Maria from Strong Body, Strong Soul. And I wanted to thank you for your song that you left on my show here as a message. Wow, what a great use of your voice. Have a great night or day wherever you happen to be in the world. If you're celebrating 4th of July, I hope you enjoy some fireworks somewhere. If you're in Canada, I hope you had a great Canada Day. Regardless. Hi, I hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for the message. Bye.
You just heard some wonderful sentiments from Strong Body, Strong Soul podcast. I had left her a theme song some time ago, and she was thanking me for it. That is so fun. I love leaving theme songs for people. And what you heard at the top of the podcast, by the way, please listen to her podcast. Extraordinary. I've been finding some extraordinary podcasts, and so my gift to them. Should they choose to view it as such, is a theme song. I like to sing the theme songs for them. My little Easter egg. My little Johnny Appleseed. Before that, you heard a song by John Garside from Forgotten Tales podcast. His song was an extraordinary blending of two things that I talked about in one of my episodes, which was the town of LaGrange, which is where my mom and dad grew up, and also a boy that they grew up with, Robert Ballinger. He exploded off his two fingers when he was a little kid, his ring finger and pinky finger, when he was trying to make his own homemade firework. And it turns out, I grew up in Carroll Stream, Illinois. Carroll Stream. And Robert Ballinger, Mr. Ballinger, happened to be my principal. My mom didn't know about that until one day she walks in. I used to get lots of bloody noses, frequent bloody noses. And they would just come on, usually in the cold weather. As you know, those of you Chicagoans or anyone who lives in winter areas sometimes get so cold. Ooh, 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 ooh. Gets down right there into the capillaries. My goodness. Ooh, you feel it. You feel it. You feel it. Feels like you're freezing from the inside out. And what goes along with that is sometimes frequent bloody noses. I don't know what would happen. It would like crack the skin. I don't know. Let's not get into too many details. However, I'd get a lot of bloody noses. And I heard Mr. Ballinger describe it once like the aftermath of a werewolf. I don't know if I was the victim or if I was the werewolf in that instance, but I would go into the office and I would just have blood all over my face. They would do the best they could. The school nurse would try to plug up my nose. And then my mom came in one day and she's like, Robert Ballinger. It was so crazy. So as a result, I think I got away with a lot of stuff. I think I got away with a lot of stuff, which is interesting because years later, I ended up being in the movie Bloody Bobby. This is something interesting. Ryan McGonagall, who wrote that movie, he had no idea that I grew up with bloody noses. He had no idea. And Bloody Bobby is about a little boy. Ooh, interesting. Robert Maxwell. Interesting. Robert Ballinger was my principal. Interesting. That's just now this other synchronicity popped into my brain. I didn't even think about that. So, Robert Maxwell, a little boy who had frequent bloody noses, and the kids would make fun of him, and they would call him Bloody Bobby. Bloody Bobby, Bloody Bobby. And I didn't even tell that to Ryan. Didn't even tell that to Ryan. He just happened to write up this idea. He has a knack for doing that. Pulling in things that are very close related to the things that are personal to you without even telling him. I think he's a psychic. He just doesn't realize it yet. So you guys, please keep on sending in the voicemails. I love this. They're getting more and more absurd. The sentiments are just so beautiful, and it's so, what I love most is sharing you with others. That is the title of the show, Inspirato Projecto. I project out to the world what I am inspired by, and those who might have been inspired by what was projected out before. It's a cycle. Everything keeps feeding each other. The foundation of this is we are what we eat. You are what you eat. So what are you putting in your brain? What are you putting in your body? What are you putting in your brain? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What conversations are you getting into? What TV shows are you watching? What news programs are you watching? What is the substance of what is being put in that brain? What is the substance of what's being put in that body? For instance, I just found out citric acid is made from black mold. People die from black mold if they got it in their house. Is that something we want to put into our bodies? Black mold? So I just discovered that. Think about that. Keep that in mind. If you got kids, you're like, oh, it's citric acid. Well, citric sounds like citrus, doesn't it? Sounds like citrus. And citrus sounds to me like orange juice. Sounds to me like limes, lemons, etc., etc. Citric acid. You know, these companies, they're really good at disguising things. They love disguising things. They love it. They love it. That's why, those who make organic things, you know, just truly, truly nurtured, cared for, no pesticides, all that razzmatazz. That's why those who actually truly are making this in an honest effort to put health into the bodies of the populace, that's why they got to keep finding clever ways of, you know, they start out saying organic. Well, then along comes someone like Monsanto or some other big corporate monster, and they go, oh, this is organic too, this is organic too, this is organic too. That's why everyone had to start saying non-GMO, just to go, hey, guess what? All right, we have got to distinguish. These guys, we are not that. We are not intending to make future mutants. By the way, do you know Australia has started, or they're going to spraying their, we already got chemtrails up in our skies. Yet Australia is just coming around and saying it. Okay, we're spraying vaccines, whether you like it or not. And I read an interesting line of dialogue in there that something the effect of, it may be harmful to the environment. Well, if there's a question in your brain, why are you doing it? If you have a choice of doing something that may or may not harm the environment or is good for the environment, by the way, environment people, it's not just some, oh, environment's just out there. No, we are the environment. We are the environment, folks. We are the environment. Your child is your environment. Your cat is your environment. Your goldfish are your environment. all that. Both the crunchy crunchies and the cute little guys swimming around in the aquarium. That is our environment. The environment is not some just out there thing. Oh, it's just out there thing. As it's been said before, we are what we eat. Look at what precipitation is. You already know what precipitation is. It's good to be refreshed on it, though. Precipitation, participation, reciprocation, collaboration, cooperation. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. What we allow to get away with is a reflection of ourselves. Really. Added to that, I want to say, the power of intention. Bam. That's, you know, like the wild card in UFO. In Uno. I love Uno. I love Uno. I don't know about you guys. If you've never played Uno, you deserve. It's the easiest card game in the world, and it's the most fun. It's filled with colors. It's filled with great spirit. The wild card. That's like the card that's like, okay, guess what? This covers all bases. You say blue, I say spectrum of rainbows. Bam. You say, I must have a green card. You say, I must have a red card. You say, I must have a yellow card. Well, here's a wild card. Wow! That's the sound effect that you hear in those science fiction trailers. It came from space. To get its revenge. So power of intention is the wild card. That's the wild card, folks. And I would also go to say it's like the Joker card. The Joker card. He's laughing. He's joking. He's making fun of the king and queen. He's going, you guys. Making fun. A person, Alan Watts, I learned this from Alan Watts, person is rooted in the word persona. Persona is the name the Greeks gave to the masks. The persona. What persona are you putting on today? When someone is so heavily ensconced in their persona, in their identity, I am this. This is my identity. And you go, I see what identity you're putting on there. Ooh, dig it. That's a lizard. Open up the rock and, oh my gosh, they see what I really am. Pull behind the red curtain. Ah, oh, how dare you to close that curtain. Don't look behind the curtain. Oh. If you've exposed the core of what's in there. If it wants to be found, it will be found. So, anyway, get back to the power of intention. The power of intention is, you know, no matter how many chemtrails they're spraying out there, if I had a choice between giving a vaccine to my kid or not, I would choose not to. But that's the good news. I don't have a kid. Every kid is my kid. Every person is my person. Why? Because they're reflections of me. I'm reflections of them, specifically and particularly those who I'm choosing to put into my reality paradigm. That's it right there. Room full of mirrors? That's what it is. Room full of mirrors. Room full of mirrors. Everyone's a reflection. There was a song. There was a song that came to me. Da 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 da. It was something. Da-da-da-da. I am a reflection of everyone else, and I am you, and you are me, and everyone body. Maybe that's what it is. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, there was a song there that came to me. That I'll find it and I'll sing it to you when it pops. But as the famous phrase goes, change begins within. Be the change you want to see in the world. Believing is what matters. What is that belief system? What we see in our world, in our reflection, we take the first step, it reflects it. Simple. Rather than being reactionary, be actionary. Be actionary. You are the action. Oh, yes. Here we go. Another delicious, delicious glass of ozonated water has been brewed up in the past 20 minutes. Put that on the 20-minute thing. I was out there in big crowd yesterday for 4th of July out there in Grand Park. And so I like to, same thing with the Yachtly Crew shows, I like to make sure I drink some ozonated water afterwards. You never know who has a cold. A good way to help ensure that you don't get a cold is putting that high vibration into your body. Be happy first. Happy isn't, once this happens, then I'll be happy. Because then we're constantly ignoring our own power, our own awesomeness. Once this happens, I got a friend like that. And it's like, oh man, come on. Dude. Once this happens, then I can finally feel good about this. Like, once that thing happens, well, what if we felt good about it first, and then we just feel good. We feel happy now. That's the beacon. That's the magnet. Happy. I'm happy. What's there to be happy about, Kurt? The world is falling apart. Is that what you're defining it as? And why are you choosing to define it that way? Is the world falling apart? Are you basing each decision you make in life on what the news is telling you? Are you? How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel when you get involved with politics, for instance? How does that make you feel? Just that word, hmm? Just that word, politics. It came from space. It was political. Everyone's got a good reason for everything. Everyone. Excuse us, sir. Why did you murder all those people? Well, here are my list of good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why did you run into that burning building and save those babies? Well, here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why are you so addicted to gambling? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why are you so addicted to finding the brighter side of life? Here are all my reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why do you grow your toenails so long? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, ma'am. Why do you push your lips out in every photo you take? Here are my good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why did you get all of those demon tattoos on your face? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, ma'am. Why do you yell at people when they compliment you on how you're dressed? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why did you build that table? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me, sir. Why did you not build that table? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me. Why are you drinking ozonated water? Here are all my good reasons. Excuse me. Why do you eat Hot Pockets every single morning, afternoon, and night? Here are all my good reasons. Alan Watts, you know, the coin. Here's one side of the coin. Here's the other side of the coin. They're both the coin. In each of these examples, each of these people is choosing for their specific reality experience what they want or not want to do. I personally don't like the taste of pickles. I know people who love pickles. I have a friend I met her in Columbia College. She told me she loved pickles. She would buy those. She especially loved drinking the pickle juice. She loved the pickles. Eating them. She loved them. That's fine. That's her reality experience. I don't walk around in her reality experience. She walks around in her reality experience. None of you walk around in my reality experience, do you? Maybe for those brief moments in time where you're listening to my podcast. I'm certain there are a bazillion things that I say. You go, what the hell? What is he drinking? What's in his tea? What's he pumping through the air ducts in his apartment? This man has gone off the rails. For every single thing he's saying, I can find a reason why that's just not true. It's fine. I won't hate you if you say that. I won't. Friends, I'm here. Mostly, mainly, and foundationally, have you ever seen the movie They Live? They Live. Please look it up. You've heard that reference many times. In fact, you've seen many, many people with the t-shirt Obey. I'm sure at this point you've seen it, right? Started as street art. And you've seen the t-shirt around. Obey. You probably wonder, what the heck? Obey. Oh, that's just name of clothing. It's like Versace or whatever. It's symbolic, folks. It's so much more than just a name. You'll see. Check out They Live. You'll love it. That is if you want to sort of look at the world through a lens, a new lens. I just want you to be the best version of yourself. Why is that important to me? Because I attempt to be the best version of myself, and it feels good. It feels awesome to reveal these nuggets of enlightenment that feel good to me, and then I blast them out there into the world. Why is it important for me that you are the best version of yourself? Well, when you're the best version of yourself, you're offering me and everyone else the opportunity to see the awesomeness inside of you. You're offering us that. It's your gift to the world. It's your gift to yourself. It's the best gift you could ever give to yourself. The cheapest thrill is a synchronicity, an epiphany, a revelation, that aha moment where you go, oh, that. Do you want more of those? Or do you want less of those? Do you want less of those moments? This moment, 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 and all those little moments in between. Are those moments that you are spending time with yourself? Each of those moments is a moment that you are spending with yourself. You take you wherever you go. As Uncle Arnie would say, wherever you go, there you are. There you are. He loved that phrase. I don't know where he learned it from, but I always attribute it to Uncle Arnie. Another one of his famous phrases was, I am a legend in my own mind. That's where it starts, in your own mind. What does being a legend mean to you? What does being a legend mean to you? Can being a legend exist concurrently without ego? My definition says yes. By legend, what does that mean? The words that come to me immediately are archived, remembered, affected, inspired, forever lasting, reverberating. I mean, that's you. Those are the aftershocks. It's like the earthquake and the aftershocks. What aftershocks are you giving your world? Because the world then, through its various disguises and camouflages, through its extraordinary array of shape-shifting abilities, that reverberates right back to you. Goes right back to you. This is why I love surprises, unknown circumstances, saying yes to something that goes blip, 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 blips, blips. I said yes to going out to Grand Park yesterday for the 4th of July Independence Day celebration with the Wizard of LA and Michelangelo. I thought it was fun, so much fun. And then what did we do? We met up with other wizards. We met with those other folks. I've got it documented in the episode before this, if you want to listen to it. If you like the synchronicities, the coincidences, the serendipities, the deja vus, the aha moments, That's a lot of that stuff is baked right into this podcast. In fact, folks, if you're listening to this on Anchor, on the Anchor FM app, please, please feel free to tell me of any of your amazing synchronicity moments, of any of those aha moments, any of your epiphanies. Those moments that you feel reluctant to share with anyone else, that where it's like, oh man, you know, I thought they would have thought I was crazy if I said this thing out loud. But I am so excited about this. I was thinking about this song. I was thinking about the song, humming it to myself. I walk into the grocery store, and there it is on the radio. I was thinking about this person, and I was thinking about them, and bam, they texted me, or they called me. I live for those stories. and I love sharing them with others. I get such a kick out of hearing those. What's so awesome is that in many of these cases, when people share these stories with me, they directly relate to a synchronistic moment that I experienced. Now, what is that? That's like a bah, bah. That's a fractal right there. That's a beautiful fracticality. Don't go for practicality, folks. Go for fracticality. Go for fracticality. Fracticality, that's where it's at. The Fibonacci sequence. Become the Fibonacci sequence. Ooh, I just feel. Do you feel that high vibration? Do you feel that high vibration right now? That's you. Recognizing your greatness, recognizing that power that's been stifled by, well, ourselves. And there are all kinds of justifications as to why we would stifle something. Maybe we live with someone who's just a grump, an Eeyore. Bum, 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 bum. Spiritual vampire, naysayer, killjoy. Perhaps we're at work all the time, 9 to 5, day in and day out. Get home, we're exhausted. We got the weekends. What do we want to do on the weekends? We want to go and forget about it. We want to party. And then comes Monday again. So we learn to not get excited. We learn to hide those things for fear of being labeled as weird or strange. For fear of being outcasted from the society like a leper. Ask yourself, are you pleased with the culture you've been hanging around? The cult culture you've been hanging around. Corporations are a cult culture, just like anything else. How good does it make you feel? How better does it make you feel when you are around a culture that is encouraging you, that is concerned about working in concert with your highest vibrating self and aspects? How good does that feel? Those friends who go, oh my gosh, you know, when you would play guitar, it was just the best. To which you might reply, oh, I haven't played guitar in years. Oh, I'm, you know, that's a dream that I just used to have. Nah, that's a dream. Yeah, forget it now. No, I'm too old now. I'm too old. I'm too old. I'm too old. I don't play guitar anymore. No. Remember when you used to draw? Remember when you used to draw? Oh, my God, you're a phenomenal. Oh, no, I don't do that. No, I don't draw anymore. No, no, no. No, those are just doodles. Why are we saying that? Well, let's go down the route. Who is actually talking through us? Who is that that's actually talking through us? Is it us? If so, is that language we want to choose to have? Is that the language we would choose to have? I'll put it this way. How about it's a gift? You know, it's a gift. It's a gift. What if you were to go see your favorite musician and you got one of those backstage, you know, VIP passes? You go, oh my God, you just enlightened me. That was amazing what you did on stage. And they're like, oh no, 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 no. They're not accepting your gift. Your gift is you're seeing them shining. You're seeing someone who's shining, who's so fully tuned in to their most exciting, oh, the most exciting thing they could be doing in that moment. The most exciting, unapologetic thing they could be doing in that moment. You're seeing them tuned into that. And you go, here's this. You're handing this thing. You're going, oh my gosh, thank you, thank you. What do? Bam, knock it out of your hand. Knock it out of your hand. Blah, and then you scramble around. You got to pick it back up. No. I insist. This is tailor fit for you. No. Bow. Imagine giving the most tailor fit compliment to someone for their tailor fit present to someone for their birthday. Right when they open it out of the box, they throw it on the ground, they start stomping on it. Are you going to be giving that person another tailor fit gift that you thought reverberated with their highest joys and excitements? Perhaps a better gift would be coal. Because they're not recognizing the diamond that you see them as. They're seeing themselves as the coal. Give them the coal. Would they like that better? When someone compliments us, wow, you used to play guitar, and boy, that was so good. It'd be neat to allow ourselves to take a moment and think about the joy that we derived from that. Wow, I loved playing guitar. You know, I still got my guitar. It's up in the attic. What the heck? I'm going to get that down. That would make me feel so good. That would make me feel so good. What feels better, watching the news? Just that word, right? I have a friend who would just... I went to New York with him. And I didn't know this about him. But he was addicted to the news. And I had stayed away from... Now it's been 19 years. I've stayed away from official television. Back then it was probably... I don't know. 5 years into staying away from TV. So then to get this huge overload of the complete opposite of where my heart was used to being drawn to. Oh my God. That hotel room in Hell's Kitchen, interestingly enough, was over in the Hell's Kitchen area. I think it was on 10th Street, somewhere. One thing's for sure, we're on 10th Street somewhere in Hell's Kitchen. And I felt like I was in Hell's oven because he had the news on all morning long, all day long, all night long, and even while we were sleeping. Oh, you know what? I think it was during an election. I think it was during an election. Who was it? What was going on? Something was going on. Who were those guys? I think it was around the Obama time. Obama and, I don't know, some of those guys. Whoever those guys were, they kept using the phrase, clean bill of health. Clean bill of health. I remember that specifically. Clean bill of health. Oh, they got a clean bill of health. For some reason, they really loved that phrase. Every newscaster used it. Clean bill of health. They wouldn't stop using that term for one of those candidates. They kept saying it. That was a shock. Talk about shocking the monkey. I'm used to climbing around in the trees, jumping from branch to branch. And when they go, What saved my soul during that trip was the trip to Mad Magazine offices on Broadway, which was right across the street from the Letterman building where they do late night with Dave Letterman. I went in there. They gave me a tour. It was awesome going through those offices. Oh, man. Going around those offices. They had all this cool Mad Magazine memorabilia that stretched back way back to the beginning of when they first started the magazine. Oh, it was great. They had recently, they had some Christmas ornaments left over from their Christmas party. They gave me a Christmas ornament. They gave me a magazine. It was so cool, man. There's also a restaurant there. I think it was called 2525 or something, 2050, 2020. It was futuristic themed. I loved it. Everyone who worked there wore what looked like sort of Star Trek. It was their own version of like a Star Trek kind of thing. And they had this huge screen, flat screen, on the wall. And it looked like you were flying through Mars. It was awesome. All of this computer-generated landscape. And standing out in front promoting the restaurant was a person dressed in an alien suit. I loved it. I had to eat there. I visited the first Barnes & Noble. I visited Mark Twain's house. While I was at that Barnes & Noble, I looked up the factory. That was another place I wanted to visit, was where Andy Warhol and his Band of Misfits, where they concocted all those awesome albums, where Velvet Underground concocted his albums, where Andy Warhol did his screen tests, where all of this magic occurred. I looked that up. I looked up that address, and I think it was in the Meat District. The Meat District. The building, it was something else. However, around that area, there was an Andy Warhol museum. So that was awesome. Check out all the Andy Warhol museum stuff in the museum. And that just felt so good, so inspiring. And then I went to a couple of open mics out there. That was fun. I sang songs. The people were so gracious. They let me borrow their guitar and sing some songs. I sang that one song that I was telling you guys about on a different podcast, which ended up years later. Keen did a song which sounded very much like the melody. The song was called Lady Bluebird, I believe. It was about a woman who was in a family of trapeze artists called the Bluebirds, and she had ran away from the circus. A lot of people run to the circus, but she ran away from the circus to have a normal life. The idea was that they were going around from town to town, and these people, you know, just being astonished by what they saw in the circus. This woman, Lady Bluebird, she decided, you know, I want to just have a regular life. Just stop traveling. I'm just one spot. That became something that was important to her. Well, one day she just gets up and leaves. And this guy from the song is from the point of view from a guy who she left, but she didn't tell him. And let's see if I can remember the lyrics. I heard the news today, how you took off the other day. I had no words to say. Of course it blew me away. But now you're free, free, free from the circus, finally, Lee, Lee. I hope you find a home in a town to call your own. Ba-dum-bum-bum, ba-dum-bum-ba-da-da. Oh. I'm glad you gave it a shot. It impresses me a lot. Da 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 da. But now you're free, free, free from the circus finally, Lee, Lee. I hope you find a home in a town to call your own, where you can live forever happily. Oh, that's, yeah. Where you can live forever happily. So, it was something like that. And I sang that song at the open mic. So fun. It was so fun. Then there's a piano bar out there. That was awesome. Where you could sing. You could sing. Oh, it had been raining. It had been raining like crazy out there, like gangbusters. And I think I might have brought two different kinds of shoes, maybe? So before we went out to this piano bar, So before I went out to this piano bar, I had left those shoes on the heater at home, or at the hotel where the news was on. So my shoes were getting serenaded by the news on the heater, and I had different shoes somehow. And I went to this piano bar, and it was cool. A lot of the folks, after they were on Broadway or whatnot, after they, you know, had sang it there in their various musicals and whatnot, they would stop by this piano bar, and it was kind of like karaoke. So this woman would be playing the piano, and I rarely know the lyrics to anything. So when I do know the lyrics, it feels really good. One of my favorite songs is I'm a Believer by the Monkees. I love the Monkees. And I was in the West Side Story on a couple occasions. I love those songs. I think I've told you guys before, I think I'm going to do a just completely a cappella West Side Story. just me. West Side Story. Those songs are great. And so I was asking her, oh, do you know the Jet song? Do you know the Cool song? She's like, no. I said, oh, do you know I'm a Believer by the Monkees? She goes, oh, yeah. So I started forgetting the words, and in those moments, I started improvising words about my shoes being on the heater back in the hotel room. And that was so much fun. And people were asking me. They kept thinking I was a movie star. They're treating me as if I was a movie star. It was one of these rare occasions. Where they were all looking at me and wow, it was so interesting. They all thought they had recognized me. It's so interesting. I think around that time we're shooting Max Neptune and the Menacing Squid. So I might have just said something like, oh, well, my latest project. My latest project is a science fiction film. Keep your eyes peeled. It'll be out. Max, Neptune, and the Menacing Squid. We had also auditioned for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Millionaire. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Millionaire. And we had auditioned for that. I didn't get past the phase. That was, those auditions were in Uptown. You know, I was starting to, oh, and Dave Uchansky got, I mean, he answered so much of that stuff. He knew all about it. And I'm like, Dave, dude, you gotta go. You gotta do it, man. He decided not to. Who knows what that guy could have won? I'm sure that TV show is on somewhere still. They're still holding auditions. There's always still time. That was held in what is known as the area of Uptown. I didn't know about any of this stuff until I actually got into New York. I also didn't realize how you can totally walk from the bottom of Manhattan to the top of Manhattan within a few hours. Crazy. I look at this map, and I go, oh, okay, you know, let's just walk to Barnes & Noble, you know? And you would arrive at Barnes & Noble much sooner than you anticipated. Wow, just thinking about that experience, New York. I invite anyone to go to New York. Visit it, that Manhattan area. It's really interesting. So Uptown, that was the other thing too, at the piano bar, a lot of people were singing Billy Joel. And then that's when I started realizing, oh, Billy Joel, he's a New York guy. He's a New York guy. So they're singing. You know, you can't help but be drawn to a musician. For instance, if I sang All About Carol Stream, whoa, maybe that's it right there. Wow, there's an idea. Sing the song All About Carol Stream. Whoa. Okay, you heard it here, folks. Please remind me to sing an album about Carol Stream. Also, earlier I mentioned something about. Oh yeah, let me write this down. I mentioned something about the room full of mirrors, and I got an idea for a movie that's been cooking in my brain concerning that room full of mirrors aspect. I'm writing that down in this other idea book, this newer idea book. This new book, it has the Bookhouse Boys insignia on the front. All of you peekers or peekies, as some like to call them, you know what I'm talking about. Bookhouse Boys. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please watch Twin Peaks. As your doctor, I prescribe Twin Peaks Season 1, Season 2, and Season 3. After you see those, come back to me. I'll prescribe more. And I'm certain you'll love it. I'm certain. And if you don't, that's fine. Turn on an old Who's the Boss rerun or something. Angela, where's Mona? Mona, where's Samantha? Samantha, where's Jonathan? Jonathan? Jonathan, where's Angela? Angela? So Billy Joel, that's where I first realized that everybody loves Billy Joel out in those parts. I didn't know until then that I guess he grew up on Long Island. I wonder if he's got any songs about the Amityville house. I wonder how many times people drank a Long Island iced tea inside of the Amityville house. Now there's a question. Now there's a question if I ever heard one. There's a question if I ever heard one. So yeah, a lot of folks were singing about Billy Joel, singing Billy Joel songs. However, there are probably songs out there about Billy Joel. Billy Joel, you're a piano man, singing about New York, while you're playing inside of an old bar at night, and you're sweating there like a hog. Oh, Billy, 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 oh, Billy, 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 Joel, boom, 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 boom. What did we learn today? Quick recap. Billy Joel comes from New York. Oh, Uptown Girl. That's what I wanted to say. Uptown, yeah, Uptown for the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Uptown Girl. He sings about Uptown Girl. Well, now I know what an Uptown Girl is. Or Uptown Girls are. They're up there. They're up there in Uptown. Plainly put, they're up there in Uptown. Want to find the Uptown Girls? Go on up to Uptown. You'll find them. You'll find them. Will you find Uptown Girls in downtown? Possibly. Possibly. Will you find downtown girls in Uptown? You probably will. Good chance. There's a good chance you will. Oh, Washington Square, by the way. I went through Washington Square. That was great. Walking round, apostrophe round, Washington Square. Oh boy, something just popped up. Oh boy, I'm getting a download for a movie idea here. Washington Scare. What if the ghost of George Washington haunts Washington Square and he scares people? Washington Scare. Late at night, you can see his ghost. Floating by on their Delaware boat. Floating on by. As soon as I said Delaware, I was reminded of the Philadelphia Experiment. Check that out, too. Philadelphia Experiment. It's either a lake or a lake, Lake Delaware, something. That's somehow connected to it. I know Delaware is connected to it in some fashion. Or another. In some fashion or another? It's connected. Ooh, that's another. That's another idea for a character. Connected. He could be like an android friend. And when he runs out of the batteries, people are like, connected. Connected. He could be connected to all, I love that, all signals. Shortwave radio, CB radio, regular radio, microwave, ultraviolet, thermal. Imagine how many interesting waves that we have invented tools to be able to see, to experience. While we're on this subject, check out the Santilli Telescope. Santilli Telescope. Instead of it being, well, telescopes are either, I don't know if they're concave or convex. Convex or concave. The Santilli microscope is the opposite of what other telescopes are, and it sees what people call ET eyes. Eddies. the Yetis of the sky. They see interesting lights, interesting waveforms up there in the sky. They say a lot of these UFOs, they cloak themselves. They cloak themselves. Well, as soon as we make an instrument, we got a tool, now we see something. Sure, you call someone a madman. Sure, you call someone crazy. Sure, you call the clairvoyant a weirdo when they're saying, I sense this. I see that. Oh, you're nuts. Da-da-da-da. There's no scientific evidence. And then out comes a tool that can see it, and they go, wow, we can see these things. How often do we hear those people apologizing to the madmen, to the clairvoyants? How often do we hear them going, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was so mean to you. Oh my gosh. Now that there's a tool that could see it, I believe you. Anyway, folks, this time is up. Just be the best version of yourself. Keep that in mind.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.